Hello, brothers, saints. So today I want to bring an article on the doctrine of endurance. In the same article as teaching endurance, it's going to refute eternal security or once saved, always saved. So here we go. The doctrine of endurance is one that Satan and his workers have attacked, and they continue to attack it vigorously. And they have in its place produced the heresy of eternal security, saying that if one believes, then they have eternal life and salvation, and the conduct of the believer has no bearing on this, and defend that so-called Christians can live in willful sin, when Scripture says, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. To show this doctrine as the false ways, the lies and heresy it is, and to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, here is an offering for the Lord and the body, as with the Lord's help I will show with many scriptures the doctrine and importance of endurance, that the saints grow not weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. To start this, consider the words of the Lord, Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Using this starting point, we will rightly divide the word. Jesus taught that when we have received the word of truth, we must hold fast to it and continue in enduring the faith. He showed this again in a parable where he taught, Mark 4:14-20. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have received the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Did you notice that? There are some which do receive the word, they take it with gladness, but because they do not endure, but are offended, they fall away. If the false doctrine of eternal security, also known as once saved, always saved, was true, it would not be possible to fall away. Jesus here also gives us an important principle of why some do not endure. It is because they do not have roots. They do not go deep. They are the ones who may for a season walk, but it is after the flesh. And when the Spirit through trials will root out sin, they are uprooted and wilt, having no depth. Of such are many false converts and church people who go through the outward shows of faith, but hold on to sin and do not let the word go deep in them to take hold of all things in their life and push out all sin. Another scripture that shows this is 2 Timothy 2:3-14. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Here Paul is teaching the doctrine of endurance, and he admonishes us that we should endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to point out something. The word used in verse 12, where he says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. The word translated as suffer is the Greek word pronounced huponimo. It means to stay under, that is, remain. Figuratively, to undergo, that is, bear trials, have fortitude, persevere, abide, endure. Paul is saying literally that if we endure, we will reign with him, but if we deny, he will deny us. If the false doctrine of eternal security is true, why would Paul write this? He also charges us to put these things in remembrance and not to words that have no profit or use, but are to the subverting of the hearer. Let the saints guard against such heresy. In another place, Paul writes Philippians 3:11-16, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. If Brother Paul said that he had not attained, but must keep striving and pressing toward the mark for the prize, how can any of us claim to be saved? The arrogance and blind pride of this heresy is astounding. Another scripture is Hebrews 6:13-15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Here again we see, and scripture says, that even though the word and promise of God is eternal, Abraham had to patiently endure to obtain the promise. And this is the pattern of God for his saints as well. We have the promises of God, but we must patiently endure to obtain them. Another passage that shows this is James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. As well, James 5:10-11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Here again we see the importance of enduring, as well as another principle to show us what it means. Jesus told us why people do not endure. Paul tells us that we must, or we will not obtain the promise. And James tells us what we must endure. Temptations, trials, the suffering of affliction. And we are to take for an example of patience the prophets and holy men, and to consider the end of the Lord, how he with patience endured. This is echoed in another passage, Hebrews 12:1-4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We can see then that endurance is very important and is clearly taught in Scripture. The question then becomes, is our salvation conditional or on our endurance, or is it something that we can lose? To start this answer, let us consider that the scripture nowhere says that we are currently in this body saved. It tells us that if we endure and continue, etc., we shall be saved. For salvation is the hope we have in Christ, that through him we will be saved from the judgment and condemnation that we have earned with our sins. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Salvation then is not a present thing, but it is the promise which is given us through Christ, the Holy Spirit being the earnest, as is written Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The word earnest is the Greek word arhabon, a pledge that is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest, earnest. Thus, our salvation is the promise given and sealed by God, and we must, like Abraham, endure to obtain the promise. Consider the following scriptures to show this, and notice one recurring word, the word if, which is a conditional word that signifies in the Greek a primary particle of conditionality. These scriptures all show us that our salvation is conditional. Consider them closely. John 3:17, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." John 15:6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." John 15:14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Acts 17:27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us." Romans 4:24, "But also for us to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead." Romans 8:13, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Romans 11:21-23, "For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." 1 Corinthians 3:17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians 15:1-2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Colossians 1:20-23, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." Hebrews 3:13-14, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John 2:24-26, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Revelations 3:3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." These scriptures should by now have made it abundantly clear that we have a work to do. This shows us the way the covenant works. God upholds his side of the covenant, which is in the shed blood of Christ, and is given with the earnest of the Holy Spirit. And then it shows our part, how we must endure, continue, strive, and press on with Christ to obtain the promise. To show yet more, and to show even more clearly, the earnest fear and zeal we must show, and once again, to show the cursed lie of once saved, always saved, consider the following scriptures, which leave no room for the heresy that one cannot sin and lose his salvation, that one cannot have his name blotted out of the book of life. Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 10:26-31. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Consider this. If they want to use the lie that those who do this were never saved to begin with, then what do they consider as being saved? The scriptures above say that if someone who has been enlightened, been made a partaker of heavenly gifts in the Holy Spirit, been sanctified by the blood of the covenant, which is the shed blood of Christ, if such an one willfully sins and does not repent, if indeed he can obtain repentance, he has nothing to hope for but judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. This shows that those who claim Christ and, yes, are in him, having the Spirit and having been cleansed through his blood, and who fall away into willful sin and trample his blood, will be cast into hell in torment, a.k.a. they lose salvation. John 15:1-6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here again, the lie that those who fall away were never saved to begin with, is refuted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For he teaches that not only falling into a willful, unrepentant sin will cause our damnation, but that if those who are in him are unfruitful and barren, they will be cut off and cast into the fire. Does this not show with clarity the endurance and zeal we must have to endure and strive to not be unfruitful? Unless one wants to be even more blind and argue that a branch that is cut off from Christ can still enter the kingdom of God, which is to deny that he is the only way and none can enter but by him. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Here James says that one can err from the truth and that if one turns him back, he saves a soul from death. How can one err from the truth and then have his soul in death if he is once saved, always saved? 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed were wallowing in the mire. Here Peter talks about escaping the world through Christ and being entangled again, and he says it would be better to have not known the way than to have known it and turn away. Why would he say this if falling away and turning away from Christ was either not possible, as the Calvinists teach, or if one has eternal security, how could it be worse for them if one considered that before they knew the truth, they were lost and going to hell? 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say he shall pray for it. Here, John says that there is a sin unto death. Read all of the first chapters of Revelation. Jesus the Lord, speaking from heaven to his church, ecclesia, body, commanding them to repent of various sins, or he would, to paraphrase, remove their lampstand, come in war against them with the sword of his mouth, throw them into great tribulation, etc. The Lord also said, Revelation 3:4-5, Thou hast a few names, in, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. These are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to his ecclesia. How can anyone teach and say that it is not possible for one to fall away into willful sin and have his name blotted out of the book of life? I could keep bringing many more scriptures. There are dozens. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, even if they can do miracles, Matthew 7. Matthew 25, the entire chapter shows this. To summarize, the doctrine of endurance is very important, and we need to defend and contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints against the accursed lies and heresies of the easy-believe gospel with their eternal security and false hope. It makes false converts and lulls people to sleep, not showing them with what careful zeal and trembling they ought to walk, knowing that, 1 Peter 4, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? To conclude this, hear the word of God written by Brother Paul, 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.